As the Lord may be pleased to help us this morning, I would like to invite your prayerful attention to the portion of Scripture we read together, especially in the chapter 7 of the Gospel according to Luke. And we'll take as our text Luke chapter 7 and verse 7, and we read in that 7th verse the words of this centurion: "Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." We've been singing, and it's most encouraging that our brother Steve, who chose the hymns today, chose that wonderful hymn, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast." And you may be sure that this good man, this centurion, who was not an Israelite, no, he was Italian. He was of the Roman army. He held the rank of a centurion because he had the charge of 100 soldiers. And we have here, in the words before us, how the Lord Jesus, having established his teaching that we read in chapter 6, now, in the beginning of chapter 7, we have a true record of two events. One at a distance, the centurion's servant who was at the point of death, and the Lord Jesus remarkably brought him to life and raised him up again. And then we have the raising of life to one who was dead, the widow of Nain's son. And keeping in mind that the Lord Jesus had just spent a whole night in prayer that we read of in the 6th chapter where we began the reading. It came to pass in those days that Jesus went into a mountain to pray and continued all that night in prayer. How important prayer was in the time of the Lord Jesus to those who were under his teaching, to think that he spent a whole night in prayer, knowing, and remember, the Lord Jesus is God. He knew what was before him. He knew the busy day that was before him. He might have thought, like we do, if we've got a busy day tomorrow, we need a rest. But the Lord Jesus came to this world not to do his own will. He said so himself. He said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." And this our dear Saviour did. He spent his life going about doing good. He went about... In the children's hymn we read, "He went about, he was so kind. He cured poor people who were blind, and many who were sick and lame, he pitied them and did the same. But such a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified. And those kind hands that did such good, they nailed them to a cross of wood." What wonderful teaching there is in children's hymns. And may children in the day in which we live be brought to a knowledge of our Lord Jesus while they're still young. It's a wonderful blessing that the gospel is so powerful and so rich, and yet a young mind can comprehend their need and they can be brought to seek and to find the Lord Jesus as their personal saviour. What a blessing. And so as we look at this part of God's word, may the Lord bless us. None of us have seen Jesus physically, but he is made known to us by his Spirit, dwelling in us and with us. Those two, on the glorious resurrection day, who were on their road on the road to Emmaus, it would seem that it was at the end of the day, it might well have been dark, and they did not realise that Jesus was with them. But what we read is this: they walked together, and they were conversing with each other about the events of the day. It was the third day since they crucified the Lord Jesus. And we read that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They couldn't see him. Their minds were affected in such a way that they did not realise who it was that was walking with them. But what a blessing they obtained. He asked them a question. He said, "How is it that you walk and are so sad?" And they said, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and do not know these things?" And he said, "What things?" And they said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good." And they took him, and by wicked hands they crucified him. And now is the third day since these things happened. But the news hadn't reached them about the glorious resurrection. But the Lord Jesus took them up on their question. He said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And then we read that beginning at Moses, went right back to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and the early writings of Moses, he says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets and the Psalms, he opened to them the scriptures in the things concerning himself. The things concerning himself. And what a blessing it is that right through the Old Testament we're pointed to the coming Lord Jesus. We haven't seen him, but we can trust in him. And what a blessing it is when by his Spirit he communes with us, and we taste and see that the Lord is good. It can be in hearing the word preached. It can be in our own meditations. It can be in, as we read God's holy word. And it may be even a portion of scripture that we think we are familiar with. And suddenly the light shines onto it and reflects into our souls, and we are strengthened in those things that we believe. And by God's wonderful grace, he works mightily and brings people through this life into a situation whereby they will see him. We read in the scriptures, every eye shall see him on that great judgment day, won't they? But the psalmist, who was himself a shepherd, King David, he closes that so well-known Psalm 23 with those words, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. Forever and ever, in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the hymn writer says, and we sometimes sing it, "There shall we see his face, and never, never sin. There from the riches of his grace, drink endless pleasures in." I think it's endless treasures in. But the blessing is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful prospect to be with he whom we now know by faith, but there he will be a reality. When we read the Gospel of John, we have a clear account of dear Thomas after the resurrection, and he said, "Unless I see, I won't believe." Was according to God's mercy and favour poured out, it's not that seeing is believing, no. Believing is seeing. Faith is the eye of the soul. And if we see Christ by faith, our soul reaches out, because he is a reality. He is the person on whom our hopes of heaven depend. But let us come to the work of grace in the heart, mind and soul of this centurion soldier. There he was, a man employed by the Roman authorities, and he was stationed in the area where the Lord Jesus was working, in Capernaum. And Capernaum turned out to be quite an important centre for the gospel. And there the Lord Jesus worked and taught and healed, and much blessing was poured out. I'd like to look at this in three ways regarding this centurion soldier. He heard of Jesus, he was a man of humility, and a man of hope. He heard, he had humility, he had hope. He heard of Jesus. What did he do? Well, his servant, who was very dear to him, was sick and ready to die. But he'd heard of the wonders of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he was able to raise even the dead. And here we have a man concerned for one of his servants. And he'd heard of Jesus, rather like blind Bartimaeus. He'd heard of Jesus, hadn't he? He lived right down in Jericho. And Jesus went to Jericho, and of course this poor man couldn't see anything. No, but he'd heard of Jesus. Someone had told him. And when he heard a multitude of people going by, he asked what it meant. What a blessing it is that God gives to people an inquiring mind. And that inquiring mind God can use to their soul's awakening. And this poor man Bartimaeus, as he sat by the wayside begging, he asked what it meant, and they said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Jesus of Nazareth. And that struck a chord in that man's heart. He'd heard of Jesus. That very Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah, the promised one. And he gives him his right title. He says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the more he cried out, the more people tried to quieten him. He couldn't see, but he got a good voice, and his voice cried out even louder, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And we read that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought. It was then that he gave him sight. And what a blessing, we read, was poured into that poor blind man's soul. His sight was given, and the last thing we read is that he followed Jesus in the way. With his newfound gift of sight, he kept Jesus in view and followed him. And where was Jesus going? He didn't go to Jericho again, no, he went from there up to Jerusalem. And not long after that, he did love's redeeming work and suffered on the cross. It could well be that blind Bartimaeus saw him suffering there for his sin. But let's come back to the centurion. He heard of Jesus. Some people in this world, sadly, have never heard of Jesus. And we need, whenever every opportunity we're given to make these things known, as believers, surely we have a responsibility. For who can tell? This man was a working soldier, and he was among those with the fear of the Lord in his heart, which is the beginning of wisdom, and he'd heard of Jesus. What a blessing. And in the Epistle to the Romans, we read that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's a wonderful blessing to know that in these wonderful truths, we have much to encourage us. Yes, we read there that Romans 10, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias, that is Isaiah, is very bold, saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God is merciful. And when this dear man, this centurion, had heard of Jesus, he did not go himself. He sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. He asked the elders of the Jews to go and see Jesus and ask him if he would heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, he hath built us a synagogue. This centurion was well enough off that he built them a place of worship. And it's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus had much more to do with the synagogue worship than the temple. A synagogue is a place of worship, and the house of God, where the Lord Jesus first began his ministry, when he spoke from Isaiah, and he said, this day has this word been heard in your ears. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy Then Jesus went with them. And he was now not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He believed that the word of Jesus is able to perform a miracle. The word of Jesus. And so it is, dear friends, when the word of Jesus enters into the heart, mind and soul of someone on this earth, they have the beginning of a living and loving relationship with their Saviour. What a blessing. And this comes when he speaks a word. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. This man, this centurion, he was used to giving orders. If he said to one of his soldiers, do this, he did it. If he said to his servants, do something else, he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Faith is the eye of the soul. And this man's faith looked to Jesus. And his soul believed that if Jesus spoke the word, his servant would be healed. And what healing took place was under Jesus' power and authority. Say in a word. He believed in a word. After all, it was God at creation who spoke a word and something was performed. I think you'll find that if you go to the first chapter in the Bible, 10 times you read, and God said, and each time something was created. The word of God is powerful. It is by the word of God that creation took place. God said, and creation was performed. And this man believed that the word of the Lord Jesus Christ has power to give life. And therefore, this man's wonderful faith, God heard. The Lord Jesus was aware of him. Never forget, the Lord Jesus is God. He said himself, he that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. What a blessing. And this man's who heard of Jesus, his humility didn't weaken him, did it? No, his humility strengthened his faith. In his humility, he said that he's not really worthy to come to Jesus. Many did come to Jesus, and many believed on him. This man believed, although he did not come physically to Jesus, he came to Jesus with a knowledge and with a belief that Jesus was able to heal his servant who was at the point of death. And his humility was so remarkably rewarded. Look at the reverence he had. I'm a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marvelled at him, and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That man's faith was so remarkably rewarded. His servant was made well. What a miracle. And this man's hope, he did not hope in vain, did he? Because those that seek the Lord, we read, shall find him. And in following this great event, we read, and it came to pass the day after, that he, that is the Lord Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. We had years ago, Barbara and I, the privilege of going to Israel, and we went to Nazareth, which is up on a hill. Nazareth is a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And down in the valley below it, between two hills, I can picture it. Someone pointed across, he said, that's Nain over there. There wasn't very much there. But Nain is right down below Nazareth. And the Lord Jesus went that way, and as he went into the city, to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Many came to show their respect and show their support to this poor widow. Now, in the culture of the day, to be a widow with no family would speak straight away of poverty. And this poor lady had lost her only son. All the time she had a son, I expect there was enough income to keep the household going, to put food on the table. But she was poor and widowed, and now her only son had died. That's the setting of this situation. What happened? When the Lord Jesus saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. Weep not. It's worth noticing, and we must hold the translators of Holy Scripture in high regard, because those two words at the end of verse 13, weep not, the word weep has a capital W, emphasizing the power of the Lord Jesus, the same Lord Jesus who had just brought a man from death's door back into health and strength. Here, this man is completely dead. And Jesus meets the funeral procession. Those who were transporting the body of this man were there. No doubt the mother was right there, because Jesus saw her. That's who he met first. And his compassion, his love went out to her. He knew all the searchings of her heart. She did not know how the future was going to unfold. In some way, she might benefit from people being generous. But I understand that especially that part of the country was poor, and poverty was quite common. But she was shedding a few tears, understandably. She was going to go back to an empty house, she thought. What happened? He came and touched her, touched the bier. He touched the the coffin and whatever it was that was carrying it and those attending to this work, he touched it. He touched that lady's heart. He said, "Weep not." And then he put out his hand and touched the bier. That's what the transporting of the coffin, the body. And they that bear it stood still. When Jesus touched it, there is power. That word touched in the original is to fasten or make contact. The power of Jesus was there when he touched that transport of the coffin. It stood still. Jesus made divine contact with it. And when Jesus stands still, quite often he makes contact. They all stood still. The whole procession came to a standstill. And then we see this wonderful faith worked out. And notice again the capital letters. "And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Capital Y, capital A for and capital A for arise. These divine words of Jesus took effect. When Jesus says to someone dead in trespasses and sins, "Your sins are forgiven you," that is God's dealing with one who confessed their sins. God is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And that is emphasized here. When the Lord Jesus touched the bier, and they that bear it stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He who is able to give life to a dead body is able to give life to a dead soul. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, the power of the Lord Jesus is able to transfer their sins to he who is the sin bearer, and thus he replaces this with new life to an otherwise dead soul. That centurion of whom we've been speaking did not think himself worthy to come to Jesus, but Jesus thought him worthy to be visited by himself. Now here Jesus visits and speaks to someone who is dead, physically dead, and Jesus speaks. He says of himself, "I have power to lay my life down, I have power to take it again. This have I received from my Father." Now here, the Lord Jesus is able to speak and the response is that he that was dead sat up and began to speak. The Lord Jesus returned that young man's soul alive into his body. Remember, he was the same Lord Jesus who commanded Lazarus to come forth out of the grave. This man didn't get as far as the grave, no, but he was dead. he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. What a gift. That mother's life was back to how it was before. She had a young man to be in the household with her. But the result was, as we read on in this wonderful part of God's word, verse 16, and there came a fear on all that procession and all who were there witnessing these things. And what happened? They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. He has visited his people. When the Lord Jesus came to this world, it was the fulfillment of that wonderful promise that he would visit his people, and that in this world, he would lead a perfectly perfect life. He's unique. No one before him or since him has led a perfect life on this earth. And therefore, he is the perfect sacrifice for sin. The children of Israel, that first Passover, when they came out of Egyptian slavery, and they were set on their way to the promised land, they had to observe the Passover. And the condition was that they had to take a lamb from the flock, a lamb without blemish. If it was lame or had an injury, that was rejected. It had to be a lamb without blemish. Well might John the Baptist herald the Lord Jesus and introduce him by saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." This same Lord Jesus is he in whom we trust. God has visited his people. And in all these things, God is glorified, and may he live in our hearts, lives and souls, to our profit and to his praise. The Lord Jesus, who said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And these things are of God. He says, "Lo, I am with you." He's with us, we trust, even this day, as we meet around his word. And may he continue to pour out his blessing and encourage us in the way everlasting. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.